Okay, so the first two classes we did some important things. We went through and discussed how we know that God really exists from human reason. It's not just a myth. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not something that we just believe because we just have to have faith. Our faith, again, should have two things. It should have faith and reason. It should be rational. It should make sense. And then we also discussed how Jesus was a real person. He's not a myth. If anything is true, it should be able to be defended. And if something is not true, if you try to attack it, it will begin to fall apart. And so we saw Jesus is a real person. We saw the testimony of all of those who knew him best, the witnessing to his miracles, witnessing to rising from the dead, they themselves willing to be tortured, to be beheaded, to be exposed to the most painful death that you could ever imagine. And all doing that because of something that they've experienced, a person that they've really encountered. Now, when we die, we have to be in a relationship with God. Part of that is praying regularly, going to God frequently, having a good relationship. But an undeniable part of that is not sinning, to do the best we can to avoid sin. And when we do sin, to ask for God's mercy. If we die with one mortal sin, and we'll talk more about grace and heaven and hell and all those things at a later time, but we're going to talk a lot about sin and temptation today. If we die with just one mortal sin, we go to hell for eternity. Because we have to, again, remember, this is a relationship. I can break my friendship with my best friend, with my family members. I can break that relationship with my actions, with very serious actions, of course. Similarly, I can break my relationship with God if I commit a grave mortal sin. You would think, like, well, then I just won't do that. But the reality is that we have temptations. So temptations are things that lead us to commit acts that we really know aren't what's best for us. So we know it's not good for us to cheat. We know it's not good to cheat on our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our spouses. We know it's not good to cheat in school. We know it's not good to steal, that these things are bad, but yet we are tempted to do them anyways. So we have three sources of temptation. The first source of temptation is the world. You have to acknowledge, if you're thinking about the Ten Commandments, what you know in your heart to be right and what you know in your heart to be wrong, when you go out into the world, when you turn on the television, when you listen to the radio, when you go to the mall, when you watch movies, the majority of time, they're telling you things that are wrong. Sex outside of marriage, that's okay. It's not. They'll say, oh, in certain circumstances, it's okay to steal. It's okay to, you know, treat people as objects when they're not. So we go to the mall, we see Victoria's Secret, we see all of these beautiful ads. We go by Abercrombie, we see somebody dressed immodestly. We go by car dealerships, and they've got all these beautiful Camaros. And you're like, wow, if I only had that, that would make me happy. If I only looked like that, that would make me happy. So we have temptations from the world. That's the first place we have temptations from. We also have temptations from the flesh. If I were to be left alone, I would be tempted to sin still, even without being exposed to the world. We call that concupiscence. That means that I have an inclination to sin. I have an inclination to do what is wrong. And we have to remember that sin isn't just like a no-no because God said so. Sin is a disordered action. So to use things in an improper way. So we have a threefold concupiscence. We have concupiscence of the eyes. That means I see things. I get jealous. I get envious. I want certain things. Looking at certain people might cause me to lust with my eyes, sin. Now I have concupiscence of the flesh. Naturally, I have a disordered inclination to what? To eat too much, to eat things that aren't good for me. I also have a disordered inclination to lust physically. You have an inclination to sins of the flesh. Also, we have something called the pride of life, a concupiscence concerning our minds and our hearts, that we have pride that will naturally, or unnaturally, so to speak, creep up on us, even when we resolve not to do it. We say, okay, I'm not going to judge other people, but naturally, or unnaturally, I keep saying naturally because it happens without our consent, but it affects us and we start to judge other people. We start to think, oh, that person's bad, I'm better than that person because I can do X, Y, or Z, or you just start thinking worse of others and you think higher of yourself than's really necessary. We also have temptations from the devil. So the devil is real. Before we discuss how he tempts us, the devil is an angel. We're going to go through what angels are, saints, etc., in the following class and how they work. But angels are pure spirit. They don't have a body. So if you've ever seen cartoons or movies and they show the devil is like a man with red horns and a long tail and a pitchfork, that's just a drawing that people use. He doesn't have a body. And actually, there's evil spirits in this room now. There's also good angels, good spirits in this room now. They don't have bodies. They speak using their intellects. They communicate using their intellects. They can have an impact on the physical world. That is possible. Their number one goal, the fallen angels, is to get you to go to hell. That is their end game in all things. They want you to die and burn in hell for all of eternity. That is their goal. Sin. That's the only thing that they want. If they can't get you to commit a mortal sin, they want you to lose the glory of heaven. So in heaven, we have different degrees of glory. So I can be really, really holy. I can be like St. Francis. I can be so close to Jesus. Or I can just barely make it in. Still full of the Holy Spirit. Still completely full, but the analogy I use is if you have a small cup and you have a big cup, yeah, the cups are both full, but one cup is capable of more, yes, because it's bigger. So that's the only analogy that I can give. And so the devil's other goal, if he can't get you to commit mortal sin, is to reduce the glory that you're going to have in heaven for all of eternity. And again, eternity is a very long time. We'll talk about that again in a moment. So how does the devil normally act? This is the way he acts upon every single soul, every person in this room, every person who's ever lived has experienced this type of temptation. And that is a whisper. Oftentimes, you get bad ideas in your head, and you can get ideas from three places. You can come up with an idea on your own. Sometimes God or your guardian angel or the Holy Spirit will inspire you. You'll get an idea and you'll be like, oh, I should really go and help that lady cross the street. I should really get on my knees and pray right now. And you feel a tugging in your heart like you should do this. And it didn't come from your mere own mind because you're playing video games and all of a sudden you're thinking, I should get on my knees and pray. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's God really working on you. The evil spirit also can put ideas and strong tuggings in your head, and he usually does those as a whisper. He doesn't scream and go, ah, Oscar, you should go kill somebody. Ah, why not? Because then Oscar will know that this is from the devil and I should not do it. He's trying to get me to go to hell. He's trying to make me to make bad decisions. So what the devil will do is use a whisper. Oh, do you really believe what they're telling you in religion class? Put your headphones in. Don't listen to that. You don't have to kneel down. You don't have to say your prayers. Go to sleep. You're tired. So these are little things, little voices that we hear in our head that we don't even think about where this voice is coming from. And then we do it, but the devil knows that because the devil knows he can't get you to kill somebody. He can't get you to become an alcoholic if he just says, hey man, you should be an alcoholic. So he uses the path of least resistance. So if you're very strong, for example, in resisting lusts, because sometimes people are like, man, some people still struggle with lust so much. I don't have that problem at all. So if I was the devil, and what the devil would do to get you to fall into lust, if that was his goal, would be to get you to eat too much. Because why? Because eating is like an appetite. So you get tempted to eat a little bit more. So then now I'm giving into the flesh a little bit, so I'm more likely to give into the flesh in other things. So he's very cunning in that way. It can be that he's not wanting you to look at pornography, but all of a sudden you get a little idea in your head, hey, maybe I should put on ESPN. And the devil knows that on ESPN right now is women's volleyball and there's women running around in their bikinis, and then that stirs up lust inside of you. So he's very cunning in that way, and so we need to be aware that these little voices come in. Now, sometimes the devil does exert extraordinary temptations upon you. And you might ask, well, why does God allow that? Why would God allow me to be tempted in an extraordinary way? Sometimes it's free will, because you open yourself up to that. You're putting yourself in near occasions of sin, and you're almost up to the line, and then the devil's like, yeah, cross that line, and you feel it all of a sudden, and you're not willing, and you're not strong enough to say no. Yeah, that's true. But sometimes also to test us, to let us grow in holiness, to help us to be stronger. If you think about athletes, how do they get better? By striving harder, by practicing longer, by going out of their way to make it hurt more. So sometimes God allows extraordinary temptations. What's an example of that? So I know sometimes old ladies even, they're praying the rosary in church every day, they go to mass every day, and they say, Gabriel, my mind is filled with sinful things. I'm in there trying to pray, and all of a sudden I think of the worst, the evilest, the most vile things, and I can't get it out of my mind. Oh, please. And so in cases like that, it's God helping the soul to grow so that that person knows that they, by their own strength, cannot overcome this temptation. They need to pray and ask God's help. That helps them to grow in humility. That helps them to grow in their willpower. It's very helpful. So those are some reasons. But God always allows things for one of two main reasons. One, because we have free will and we have chosen to do certain things. He's not going to take away our free will. That's why we get inspirations to both sides. And at the end of the day, the devil didn't make you do it. You made a choice to go with him or to go with God. But his voice is very seductive. The voice of God is usually will give you peace about your decision, but it's sometimes difficult to do, and we have to ask God's help to do it. Or two, God is allowing us to try and fight the good fight. And it's kind of like when you have a little child and you're teaching them to walk. You put the child on his feet and then you help them take a couple first steps. Then you let go of the child to see if they can walk on their own. Sometimes they fall. You pick them back up. You give them a couple help, a little bit of help. And then eventually they learn to walk. And then you're, as a parent, you're like, yeah, you're doing good job. You're doing good job. But you have to keep getting back up if you fall. Now, that's ordinary temptation. Ordinary activity of the devil is to tempt you, to give you bad suggestions. Usually these come in as a whisper, like, don't believe that, don't go to church, oh, you're tired, sleep in, don't do your homework, just look over that guy's shoulder, don't worry, it's not so bad. And so this is why going to confession and examining your conscience is so important, because your conscience is like a compass. The voice of God speaks to you there, but also it's your best judgment. And so if you tell yourself, well, cheating right now is not so bad, and so now, and then you reinforce this without correcting it, then in your conscience, you've already have a disordered conscience, poorly informed conscience. Now, if cheating a little bit is not so bad, well, cheating a little bit more is not so bad. Now, I can cheat double and it still not be wrong for me. And that, you see how that works? And next thing you know, you're making worse and worse and worse and worse choices. And if you follow a broken compass, if you've ever had to use a compass to get anywhere, if you follow a broken compass, you're going to end up where you don't want to end up. And in this case, it's going to be in hell with Satan. Now, there's other ways that the devil works. These are called extraordinary activities of the devil. These are real. So just as you can have a house that is infested with roaches or with ants or with ladybugs getting in through the window, you're leaving little crumbs everywhere, you never clean, that would attract roaches. Similarly, houses where they do things that are evil, and we'll talk about what those things are, or a place where mortal sin is committed frequently can get infested with evil spirits, because the evil spirit is attracted to this location. This house is not consecrated to God. The people in the house do not pray, or you're doing something that actually literally asks evil spirits to come in, and you could have what's called a local infestation. I'll give you two examples of this. So in one case, there was a house where abortions were being performed. Somebody had killed the baby inside the house. Afterwards, people moved in and weird things started happening around the house. The door would open and close by itself. The water would turn on by itself. The lights would turn on in the middle of the night. And so what did these people do? They had the house blessed. They put holy water in all the rooms. And then they found out later that an abortion had happened in there, that the person had killed their baby inside that house. And so that attracted evil spirits, because murder is a grave sin. That attracted evil spirits. In another case, there's a house where, you know, those little light bulbs. And then you pull the string, and then the first thing that happened was the string was wrapped around the light bulb, and the parents thought, oh, this is weird. And then they'd wake up in the middle of the night, and the kids would have scratches on their arms. And the little boy, sometimes he'd wake up, and he'd be starting to draw ugly pictures, pictures of frightful animals that were almost like humanoid animals. And the parents were saying, what's going on in this house? Why is my kids waking up with scratches? Why are these bad things happening? Or they would have dishes out, and the dishes would smash on the ground out of nowhere. They'd be like in their room sleeping, and all their dishes smashing. And they'd go in there and they'd see nothing. So this would be a local infestation. In the case of this, they found in the wall a picture of the family that had originally built the house. And then on the back of it, the same images that the little kid was drawing. So somebody had put a curse on the house. And in that case, again, what did they do? They put holy water. They put holy pictures in the house. They started praying rosaries in the house. They had a priest come bless the house. And all of these things eventually went away. So the answer to all of these is a holy life. That same type of infestation can be to a person. So just like you can have a house that has all these bad things, people can also be infested. Kind of like if somebody has fleas, they're always scratching, they can have things attached to them. Similarly, this can happen to us as individuals. And sometimes we might have a devil with us and we never even know it. What do I mean? Well, again, the goal of evil spirits, and there's many of them, there's not just the devil, the goal of evil spirits is to get you to go to hell, to be in mortal sin, to live in mortal sin. So if you had this evil spirit with you, he's already got you. Why is he going to manifest himself? If a devil were to appear to Oscar, Oscar, Oscar would be praying the rosary in his room every night. He'd be putting holy pictures around his room. He'd be going to church every Sunday. He'd be going to confession frequently if he saw what he really had, if he had it, right? So sometimes they won't manifest themselves unless a conversion is starting to happen. Sometimes a conversion is happening. Or for some reason, it's in their best judgment, which is horrible judgment, that will make your life more miserable and lead you to further sin. Or even to seek witches or to seek out healers, especially in Mexican culture, African culture, Asian culture. In any undeveloped country, they usually will have like voodoo. In Dominican Republic, it's very popular to go to voodoo healers. All of these things will lead you further into sin and get you even more infested. So how do they manifest themselves? So there's two types. I just call it personal infestation because the devil doesn't really, or evil spirits don't really fit into a box. But you can have diabolical obsession. So an evil spirit is putting horrible things. You can't, sometimes you're thinking clearly. Next thing you know, you can't think clearly. These thoughts are so overwhelming. It feels like there's a presence on your shoulders. You're there at the computer. Nobody's home and you're like, I have to look at pornography. I got to. I don't want to. God help me. I feel like I have to. Right? And you'll have this great inner struggle. Maybe you're getting evil thoughts that are so wicked. And you're like, what's going on? Why do these horrible things happen? It makes you feel like you're crazy. You might hear voices saying, kill yourself. Kill yourself. Your life is not worth living. Kill yourself. So evil spirits can obsess your brain. Also, because again, they have access to the thoughts. They can't like go in there and manipulate your thoughts, but they can impact the intellect. They can speak kind of like telepathically. Also, there's something called diabolical oppression, where you're starting to get abused physically. So maybe you're walking down the road and rocks are being thrown at you. You're waking up with bruises all over you. Even when you go to school, weird things are happening to you. So you have an evil spirit. And then their goal, again, is to get you to commit sin or to give in and say, you know, this will all go away if you just let me come into your life. These can happen in a few ways. We'll talk about those in a moment. The number one way to get rid of all of this. Do you know the number one way to get rid of all of this? Be holy. Sometimes people come to me and they say, my child, he's seeing invisible people and the people are telling him to do bad things. And I say, is your child baptized? No? Well, there you go. Jesus came to crush Satan. Jesus came to free us from sin. When we commit mortal sin, when we're in the state of grace, let me start with that. When we're in the state of grace, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're a child of God the Father. We're children of Mary. We are heirs to the kingdom of God. We're members of the body of Christ. There's no evil in you. You have even been given graces by God to overcome Satan and his temptations. But when you commit a mortal sin, you're saying, God, I don't want your life. I don't want the Holy Spirit in me. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to do what I want to do. And so now I am a child of Satan. I'm an heir to hell. So you've rejected God's protection. So the number one best way to get rid of any of this, especially if you're in mortal sin, is to go to confession. I showed a video from the retreat and many young people, they went to confession. I would say 70 out of 72 people went to confession. And afterwards, so many people were crying. And you say, why are you crying? I don't know. I feel so good. I felt like I had something lifted off my shoulders. Yeah, you were bound by Satan. And now you are being freed by God. You're getting the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have so much freedom. You have so much peace. You have the joy of God. That's what's happening. The sacrament is powerful. It's not just I'm saying sins to somebody and then that person tells me that they've forgiven me. No, when you hear the words of absolution, God himself is forgiving you. God himself is filling you up. God himself is changing your life. And he's putting a barrier of protection around you. So holiness of life is the way you get rid of all of these things. Somebody had sent me a message on Facebook. It wasn't private. It was public, actually. You could still see it if you went to... it wasn't on Facebook. It was on YouTube. Somebody said, there's witches living next door. And in the middle of the night, I saw them putting water on my house. And it was colored green. And it had... And all of a sudden, the doors in my house are opening and closing. And weird things are happening. And at 3 o'clock, I'm waking up. And my house is so cold. What do I do? I said, well, very easy. You make your house a holy house. You put miraculous metals all around the property. You put holy pictures in your house. You put holy water in your house. You pray the rosary every day in your house. And none of that's going to happen because you are a Christian. But your house has to be a holy place. Your life has to be holy. The devil cannot hurt you. Look, I'm talking about the devil right now. Is he beating me up? Is he throwing me across the room to show how powerful he is? Of course not. Oh, the lights are coming on and off in my house. Oh, good, big deal. My kid is 3 years old, 2 years old. She can turn the lights on and off. No big deal. Why are you afraid? You just can't see the creature that's doing it. But holiness of life will get rid of all of this. It's kind of like having a bad house guest. Do you have relatives you don't like to go to their house? Well, why not? Because they're annoying. Oh, mom, I don't want to go to her house. It's so boring over there. Okay. Similarly, evil spirits don't like to be around holy people. They would rather be around sinful people. They feel more comfortable. So if you're praying the rosary in your house, they're like, oh, I don't want to be at this person's house. And then you're praying the rosary. You have holy music. You have holy pictures. They're like, see ya. I ain't going in there. I'm going to take a real beating if I go in there. I can only stand it for so long. So your temptation, especially diabolical, if you have it, will be less. There is something called diabolical possession. That is very rare, but it is possible. And that is where an evil spirit, you have allowed, normally you have allowed this evil spirit, we'll talk about how you allow it, to come into your life, and eventually they will possess you. The people who are possessed, usually they go into a trance and they start acting erratically. They'll talk in a loud, growling voice like an animal. Why can't you leave me? Get me out of here now. Okay, you wouldn't even remember this. You'd go into a trance. So how would you know if somebody's possessed, if it's your family member, if they start growling like an animal, if they know languages that they didn't know before, if they know things about you that you never knew? How did anybody know that I did that? Only the devil would know that I did that. If they have super strength, if you have a little kid and he's able to hold up, pick up four men, if a little boy is lifting up a car and flipping it over, okay, then you have a possession on your hands. Again, the best way to get rid of that is holiness of life, but then the church has a sacramental, a special prayer that certain priests are allowed to do with permission from the bishop, and that is called an exorcism. It's not like they show in the movies. In the movies, it's like the priest is fighting with the possessed person. It's not like that because the devil has to obey. It's very legalistic. If the priest has authority from the bishop, that means he has authority from the church. It's very systematic. He has a set of prayers. He'll say, in the name of Jesus, and he'll say, litany of the saints, and he'll say all these things. And the evil spirit is bound there. You would think that if he had such super strength, he'd just grab the neck of the priest and choke him and kill him, but he can't. Because the priest is protected by God and the devil has to obey, or whatever evil spirit it is has to obey. There is no need for you to go to the priest to get an exorcism only if you have diabolical possession. That is very, 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 very rare. Holiness of life. It's very simple. It's very simple. But some people don't want to do that and they'll go to the evil sources. So how does this happen to you? The extraordinary cases is very rare. But you normally invite them. The other day on my Facebook, I saw a man using an egg. He got the egg and he put it over the jersey of Altuve. He said, oh, blah, and he was saying some weird stuff. And then he broke the egg and he put it in a cup. And then he drank the egg. And then, oh no, first the egg boiled in the cup. And then he ate the egg. That's superstition. You're calling upon spirits. Oh, the spirits. And he made the sign of the cross. So they're mixing paganism with Christianity, and that makes it more tolerable. So that's what evil spirits want to do. Remember, the devil is the father of lies, so he perverts things. So how would you invite these into your house? Tarot cards. So there's only one way to go. Basically, these are all sins against the first commandment. Tarot cards is trying to get knowledge using cards. You're going to a witch or a healer or somebody who has, they're very spiritual. Oh, they're very spiritual. But you're trying to get information about the future and it's not coming from God. It's only coming from one other source. Do evil spirits know the future? No, only God knows the future. But sometimes evil spirits have good vision. What do you mean? Well, they can say, oh, look, if angels are watching us at all times and you're about to get fired and the angel who's watching, you know, this is that the boss is talking about you getting fired. And then you go to the tarot cards and they say, oh, it looks like you're going to get fired soon. You're going to have difficulty finding a job. You're going to be very depressed about this. Oh, wow, you're a magician. How did you know? Well, maybe they heard an inspiration from an evil spirit because they're open to that. So using tarot cards, using a Ouija board, they sell Ouija boards in the kids section of Target. What is a Ouija board? It's got a bunch of letters on a board, and then they have a little glass hole, and then everybody puts their hand on this thing, and then they ask a question. Oh, spirits, who has a crush on me? I need to know. I want to know who has a crush on me. And then everybody moves their hands, and all of a sudden, the piece starts going to this letter and then that letter, but then eventually it goes to D, A. Oh, who's D, A? V, Dav. What's a Dav? A, I. David has a crush on me. Wow. And then so many children, evil spirits like women and they like children. So many children, young people get evil spirits attached to them. And then they go home and like, why is my doors opening and closing? And then their mom says, I don't know, maybe we should go to the healer. Maybe we should go to the curandero. And then your problem gets even worse. Why? Because you asked an evil spirit to come. Fortune telling, same thing. Spirit healer, same thing. Ghost hunting is very popular. So are ghosts real? Yes. When you die, your soul leaves your body until you get it back at the last judgment. At the resurrection of the body, we'll all get fresh bodies. But until then, you're a ghost. When you die, you go to your judgment, your particular judgment. You'll either go to heaven, purgatory, or hell. So if you're sent to hell, you're not on earth. If you're in purgatory, you're in purgatory. Sometimes God, in his mercy, will allow the soul of a person in purgatory to come to earth so that they will get prayers. Because if think about this, if you're after your grandma died, if your grandma's in the room, you might get scared or you'll start praying for grandma or praying for your uncle or praying for whoever died. So you've got somewhere to go after you're dead. There's no ghosts lurking around, hanging out in a building that they were killed at. Oftentimes, those are devils acting like ghosts. Why? Anything that can get you interacted in the spirit realm, they will pretend to be. Often little children. Oh, mom, I've got a invisible friend. Oh, how nice. What's your invisible friend's name? Sally. Oh, good. What are you doing right now, little Johnny? I'm playing with Sally. Oh, how nice. Why don't you go to your room and play with Sally? You're bothering me. I'm trying to watch the football game. Okay. Oh, Sally's very mad at me. Sally didn't like that I went to church, Mom. Oh, that's weird. Sally's telling me to burn things. Oh, that's weird. Sally told me to kill the guinea pig. Oh, that's really weird. I've had that happen. People come to me and say, Mr. Gabe, my kid is acting really strange. Oh, do you take him to Mass on Sunday? No. Do you let him watch sinful things? Yeah, well, he's got his phone. And he's got an invisible friend named Sally, and Sally's telling him to do bad things. Because he doesn't go to church regularly. He's 10 years old. He's past the age of reason. Okay, well, he's in mortal sin. If he's committing sins in the phone, he's opened himself up to these things. You better get that kid into confession. Pray the rosary every day with that kid, and then the problem goes away. Witchcraft books. Are spells real? The devil just wants you to go to another power that is not God. You could be like, hajaba, hajaba, hajaba. It means nothing, but you think you're calling upon a spirit to help you. And then that happens. Also, sometimes in witchcraft books, they have the names of devils in there. You're not supposed to use the names of devils that you hear about that are not from the Bible. Why? Because these evil spirits want their name to be heard. They get glory out of it. It's kind of like if you become social media famous. Oh, do you know Claire? Wow, we all know Claire. Claire is so popular. Wow. Similarly, the devils, they go, oh, guess what? They know my name. Hey, they're talking about me. And then that draws them. When somebody calls your name, you look, right? Similarly, an evil spirit, if you find out his name that's not in the Bible, they look. Oh, what are they saying about me? Oh, and that will attract them to you. Santa Muerte also is an evil spirit. New Age books and spiritualities. Another way this can happen to you is if somebody puts a curse or a spell on you and you're in mortal sin, you don't have the protection of God. If you're in the state of grace, you're praying every day, you're going to Mass on Sunday, you have nothing, nothing, nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. If somebody puts a curse on you, the curse will bounce off of you and it'll go to them. Unless God has some greater plan. Voodoo, that's real. And one of the main ways that young people today get the evil spirit in their house is by looking at pornography. Oftentimes, pornography is cursed. It leads you to mortal sin. It gets you to use your whole body. So when you sin against lust, you were made, your whole body was made to be a gift of self to another person. When you commit sins of lust, even solitary sins or same-sex sins, you are rejecting the image of God that God has instilled into your very body. So you're rejecting the very meaning of what it means to be a man or a woman. And it can be very addictive, and that can open you up to diabolical obsession as well. Some people get it confused because they say, well, I'm just addicted. There's chemicals. Yeah, that's bad. But then also, there is the diabolical obsession that can come along with it. Going to seances, calling upon spirits, items of false religions, pagan idols, evil music. Sometimes people come into my class and they have headphones on and they wonder, why does he get so mad? I just have the headphone there. Yeah, because sometimes you're going to religion class and yet you're listening to devil music in your head. So how are you going to hear the voice of God speaking to you if you have Satan singing into your ear. You say, well, I don't listen to the words. I just listen to the beat. Yeah, very good. Again, the father of lies will use what he can to get in. And now the beat is stuck in your head. And the words that are saying sinful things, saying to use women like this, use women like that, they change you. Music changes you. And then, of course, abortion is a great mortal sin. But the number one key here is mortal sin. If you're in mortal sin, you're open up to any of these attacks. If you commit a mortal sin, go to confession. Get on your knees immediately. Say, I'm God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. Again, how do you get rid of these things? The number one best way to get rid of any of these things is by going to confession. There, God releases the soul from any chains. Priests who are involved in exorcism says that after you've gone to confession, not even the devil knows your sins. He doesn't. Receive Holy Communion frequently. Receive Holy Communion frequently. That is literally the living God inside of you. The power of God is present in the sacraments. Then you also use sacramentals. Those are gateways, tools. Just like we can have cursed items that people can put on you, blessed items bring the grace and the blessing of God on you. When I was your age or a little bit older, I was in high school. I was grown up. I was raised in the world. My friends in school, they said, hey, Gabe, come check this out. What do you got on the computer? This is computer science class. What are you looking at the computer? Oh, look at this beautiful woman. She's not wearing clothes. Wow. And then I'd go home and I'd be interested in the same topic. So for many years, I was looking at these sinful things. And then one day I realized, hey, man, I think I'm addicted to this. I can't stop looking at this. Something's wrong. I got to try and stop. And I couldn't stop. And then one night before bed, I was saying, I never prayed. I was saying, God, I'm sorry. I can't help. I need your help. Please help me. And then I heard a voice. God, I'm sorry. Please help me. And I got scared and I said, St. John Vianney. I don't even know where the name St. John Vianney came from. It just popped into my head. Maybe it was my guardian angel put that name in my head. I learned later that he was a very powerful priest against devils. St. John Vianney, pray for me. So the next day, I was scared to be in my room. I was scared to be alone. You would be too if you heard a monster voice in your head. So the next day, I got the rosary packet out like the ones I've given you. I pulled out the little booklet. I was kneeling on the bed because I don't know if you noticed. Sometimes when you haven't kneeled before, your knees hurt. Oh, it hurts so bad. So I was kneeling on the bed and I got the pamphlet out and I said, okay, I believe in. And all of a sudden, a force grabbed me by the throat, squeezed my neck and slammed me down on the bed. And I couldn't speak. I couldn't yell. My mom was in the other room. It was horrible. It was frightening. It's terrifying. I couldn't breathe. And then in my head, again, a voice said, pray the Hail Mary. And I said, okay. I couldn't get the words out. I said the Hail Mary in my mind. Hail Mary. And then finally, I was able to say, Hail Mary. One Hail Mary. And I was released. One Hail Mary. Are they powerful? Not against the Virgin Mary. Not against prayer. Not against God. But so many people don't go to God for help. And they're not willing to change their life. And then when I did the research, it was because I was in mortal sin my entire life, not my entire life, but most of my high school life and college life, I realized, looking back on my life, that I had an evil spirit with me the entire time. I had that evil spirit the entire time and I didn't know. Why? Because I was doing everything he wanted. And then my mom was very superstitious. She had little Buddha statues. She had dragon statues. She had little African figurines. She had elephants. Elephants are not bad. They're creatures. But she had them all facing the same direction because they brought good spirits, good luck. So when my mom went to work, what did I do? I got her little statues and I smashed it in the street. And I got her New Age books and I burned them and I ripped the pages. And I got my rated R movies and I broke them in half. And now look, I'm free. I don't have those same addictions anymore. I'm able to talk about it openly. Nobody's hurting me. But we have to make a choice to love God. So you can put holy pictures in your room. You can use holy water. You can wear little medals. You can put up a crucifix in your room. You can wear or pray the rosary first. You can actually pray the rosary. You can wear it. You can put it on your belt. You can put it in your pocket. I sleep with a rosary in my hand. I sleep with a bottle of holy water by my bed. You carry little pictures with you. You put holy pictures in your house. I'm giving you a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. All sacramentals are not made equally. A picture of Jesus carrying a little sheep is not as powerful of a picture of Jesus pulling out his beating heart and offering it to you. In fact, on the back of this, you will see promises that Jesus made to those who keep a devotion to his Sacred Heart, because the heart is a symbol of God's undying love for you. He says, I will give them graces for their state in life. I will establish peace in their families. I will bless every place where an image of my heart is exposed and honored. I encourage you to put this in your room. Give your room to Jesus, because if it belongs to Jesus, Satan can't enter into there, because it's very legalistic. Who do you belong to? I belong to Jesus. Who does my house belong to? It belongs to Jesus. Okay, there's no evil spirits going to come in there. Also, I'm giving you a picture of the Virgin Mary, because the two hearts should be honored side by side. The heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary, particularly because the Virgin Mary has a special authority from God to crush the head of the serpent. Also, these images, they're holy. They're holy pictures. But God, just as the evil spirit can use sinful pictures to tempt you to sin, God can use holy pictures to tempt you to be holy. You could be sitting in your room doing your homework like a good kid. I'm doing my homework. And mom says, hey, David, come. What, mom? I'm doing my homework. I need you to wash the dishes. Dang it, mom. I'm just in the middle of this problem. 1 minute. Come right now. When I tell you to come, you better come. Oh, and then you're about to go blow up at her. You're about to have a big fight. You know it's going to happen. It happens every time. But then you have the picture in your room, in the prominent place in your room. You're walking out. Look at this picture. You're about to go curse at your mom, which is going to bring curses upon her. You're cursing her out. But to yell at her, tell her how horrible she is and how she doesn't appreciate you. And about the big fight, you'll be miserable the rest of the week. But then Jesus said, look, you're looking at the picture. And he's saying, come on, give me your heart. Be a good boy. No! I don't want to, Jesus. She's so annoying. Come on. Come on. I love you. No, Jesus. Get over here and wash the dishes. Who are you talking to in your room? Who's Jesus? Who are you talking to in there? And then Jesus says, okay. And you say, fine, I'll go. Mom, what do you need me to do? I'm sorry. I love you. Just do the dishes. Okay, mom, I love you. I'm sorry. And so God spoke to you through the picture. But if you don't have holy pictures, if you don't have a way for God to intervene in your life, how are you going to do it? The Virgin Mary crushes the head of the serpent. The Virgin Mary is so powerful. God has willed that the Virgin Mary be your mother, really your mother. She loves you more than your own mother. When you're sick, who do you call? You call your mom. Mom, I don't feel good. And she gives you a little medicine and she holds you. Oh, my baby, it's going to be okay. Don't worry, I'll give you some tea. I'll get the egg out and rub the egg on your head. No, mom, put the egg away. I don't want to be possessed because I'm sick. No, the Virgin Mary will not only give you consolation, but she has the power to get you what you need. We talked about the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus wasn't planning on helping that wedding guest. Wasn't planning on helping the bride and the groom. But because Mary intervened and he obeys his mother, she got for them more than they could have ever imagined. And Jesus worked his first miracle, which is a very big deal. In this picture, you're going to see two things. You're going to see a little brown scapular, a little brown image like this. I'm going to get you a very high quality one like this that you'll get at the confirmation retreat. But until then, you wear the cheap one. Mary promised to Saint Simon. He promised to him, anybody who wears this scapular around the shoulders, one square in front, one square in the back, they shall not suffer eternal fire. That means you will not burn in hell if you die while you're wearing this. I call this my fire insurance. So what does it mean to be consecrated to the Virgin Mary? Anybody who wears this as a sign of their consecration. The word consecration, because you might say, oh, that happens at the consecration at Mass. That means you're setting yourself aside for holiness. But you're doing so by giving your life to Jesus through Mary. Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you want the Virgin Mary to be your mother. You're basically saying, Mary, I accept you as my mother. Help me to be holy. And if you die wearing this, that's an act of faith. Because who is the first person to give their life to the Virgin Mary, to be obedient to Mary, to have Mary watching over them, Mary protecting them? The first person to do that was Jesus. So by wearing this, by asking Mary to be your mother, that is an act of faith, the smallest act of faith necessary, just enough to keep you from going to hell. So again, so go ahead and put this over your shoulders. But you put it over your shoulders, you tuck one square in the front, you tuck one square in the back, and you wear it underneath your clothes. It's actually the simplest act of faith that you can make is what saves you. Nobody sees this. Nobody sees it. This is just between you and God. Your friends can't say, oh, look at you, you're so religious. No, because they don't even know what's happening inside of you. It's the physical manifestation of the Hail Mary. When you pray the Hail Mary, you say, Mary, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. You're wearing this because you want Mary to be there for you at the hour of your death. And I've seen it in many times, miracles were worked. So Mary can work this in many ways. She can either stand at the gates of hell and say, my son, he had an act of faith. You must save him. You must save him. I'm asking you to save him. Or before you die, she can make sure you go to confession. Or she can make sure you have perfect contrition at the hour of your death so that you're truly sorry for all your sins. There's many ways she can do it. I have a priest friend. He was sitting in his office. He began to get very anxious. Oh, I'm so anxious. I'm so anxious. I got to get out of the office. He left the office, got in the car, started driving around, ended up in the medical center. Stopped at the light. There was a beautiful woman knocking on the window. Whoa, what is going on? This is a very holy, reverent woman. Yes, ma'am, how may I help you? Father, the room is upstairs. Come on, park over there. We need you now, quick. Okay. He went into the hospital room exactly where she said, and there was a woman there dying. She had the scapular on. Oh, she gave her the last rites, gave her absolution, heard her confession. He looked around the room. The beautiful woman wasn't there anymore. He only saw old people. Where's the beautiful woman? No offense to you ladies. Where's the beautiful woman? She got me out of the street. Father, there's no beautiful woman here. The most beautiful woman is her, and she's not that beautiful. That's my mom. She's 65. And he realized it was the Virgin Mary. He says, the Virgin Mary got me out of my office, got me to the medical center to save that one woman because none of her family members were Catholic, and they weren't going to call a priest, but she was wearing the brown scapular. I've heard of stories of people dying. They get hit by a train, hit by a truck. Their scapular's out. A priest happens to be behind them. He comes and checks, sees the scapular, offers him absolution. A friend of mine had an uncle who was in the hospital. You're very blessed if you get to die in the hospital because most people, sometimes they die suddenly. They die in their sleep. You don't expect it. That's why it's always important to wear the scapular because Mary will make sure you're ready. But he was in the hospital. He said, uncle, please go to confession. I don't want to go to confession. I'm not going to confess my sins to a priest. They are hypocrites. Please, uncle, just let me die in peace. Okay, fine. Will you at least wear the brown scapular? And he said, okay, makes you leave me alone. Okay, I'll put it on. He puts the scapular on. My friend comes back the next day. Nurse, is my uncle dead? No, he's going to confession. Give him some time. He's going to confession. Yeah, a priest walked by earlier, and he said he wanted to go to confession. So God gave him the grace through the scapular to convert his heart. Wearing the scapular is a sign that you belong to the Virgin Mary. If you belong to the Virgin Mary, you do not belong to the devil. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment that will break any ties you have to the devil. If you have any, you might not even know that you've done that, and you're going to offer yourself to the Virgin Mary as her child in a moment. So that's the easiest of all the devotions. That's the easiest one. There are ones that are more difficult, but as the devotions get more difficult, the benefits get greater. The benefits get greater. So we'll watch a short video clip, really short, on this video about the miraculous medal.
Wake up! The Blessed Virgin is waiting for you. Blessed Virgin is waiting for you. This is the Blessed Virgin. This is the Blessed Virgin.
Wishes to charge you with a mission. You will have much to suffer, but you will rise above this suffering by reflecting that what you do is for the glory of God. You will know what the good God wants. You will be contradicted, but have no fear. You shall have grace. Have confidence. Do not be afraid. The times are evil. The whole world will plunge into every kind of misery. But come to the foot of the altar. There, graces will be shed upon all, great and small, who ask for them. I shall be with you. I always have my eye upon you. I will grant you great graces. The moment will come when the danger will be extreme. It will seem as if all is lost. At that time, I will be with you. Have confidence. You will recognize my coming and the protection of God. Have confidence. 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 Confidence.
Most Holy Mother.
This ball that you see represents the whole world and each person in particular. These are symbols of the grace I shed upon those who ask for them. Have a medal struck after this model. All who wear it shall receive great graces. They should wear it around the neck. Graces abound for all who wear it with confidence. Confidence.
Confidence. So Mary appeared in 1830, yes, in 1830, to that nun and said that anybody who wears this around the neck will receive great graces. That means not just spiritual graces, but also temporal benefits, earthly benefits. It used to be called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, but now they call it the Miraculous Medal because of so many miracles that have been attributed to it. The symbols on the front is the Virgin Mary stepping on the head of the serpent. Around the oval, it says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. This is a symbol of the book of Genesis, where the woman is prophesied to crush the head of the serpent. Mary's got a crown of 12 stars on her head, and she's got this prayer around the outside. Are you looking at this praying nonstop? No. But it is a physical manifestation of what this represents, of what this prayer says. And anytime I wear this, how many times have you looked at my medal? I go to the grocery store and somebody says, oh, that's a beautiful medallion. What is that? I said, oh, it's the Virgin Mary. Oh, it's Jesus' mother. On the back, it has a cross with an M because Mary was at the foot of the cross. The heart of Jesus, the heart of Mary. Remember the promise of the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Wherever this image is, I will bless that place. So you're carrying around the image of the Sacred Heart wherever you go and the Immaculate Heart, just like what's in your room. There's 12 stars all around representing the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. So the miracles come because our faith and confidence. Remember, she kept saying confidence, confidence, confidence. So being confident in the intercession of the Virgin Mary is an act of faith. You might go to a school where your teacher is an atheist and you don't even know it. But you're wearing your miraculous medal. You're so kind to your teacher. Oh, teacher, let me get the chalk for you. Let me clean your chalkboard. And you don't know they're an atheist. Maybe they're even contemplating suicide. Maybe they're going to go home and kill themselves at night. And then they're just looking for a sign from God. And the only kid in the class who's wearing this religious symbol of the Virgin Mary is cleaning their chalkboard. And you say, okay, have a good day. And it's almost to them like your miraculous medal is even glowing. It just stands out to them. Have you ever seen something that, like, just catches your eye? It catches their eye and they go home and they say, wow, that was a sign from God. I was thinking about doing the worst thing, and then this kid wearing this picture of the Virgin Mary comes into my life and changes me. This happens to me all the time. I go to the grocery store. Every day I go, at least one person comments. And if one person comments, who knows how many people are being touched by me, by being touched by the Virgin Mary through me. And she wants to protect you. I was at Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, a few years back giving a presentation. My laptop was grabbed. My cell phone was grabbed. I didn't know. There's more to this story, but I'm going to have to go quickly because we're running out of time. I turn my head. There's a gun in my head. I don't know what the gun at first. So I grab it out of the way and we start to fight. And then he points the gun at me and I start pointing the gun at him. And all of a sudden I start realizing what's happening. One of us is going to die. Either I'm going to kill him, which will be horrible. I didn't go to Brazil to kill somebody, especially I'm not from their country. I'll be the one who goes to jail for killing a native. I'm a foreigner. They don't like the United States over there. On top of that, if I don't kill him, he's going to kill me. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt an overwhelming sense to just let it go. Just let it go. And I saw, and when I did that, I noticed he looked here. And I thought first, in the moment, I thought, oh, he's going to shoot me in the chest. It's over. I'm done. I'm dead. He didn't shoot me. And then after I thought about it, it's because I was wearing my miraculous medal. And I really believe that Mary stopped him from shooting me. I don't know if he had a flashback of his mom having a devotion to Mary. I don't know what he saw, but he didn't. He should have shot me. If you go in somewhere to rob somebody and somebody's fighting with you and about to take the gun and you think he's going to kill you and all of a sudden he lets up for a second so you can kill him and you don't, I'm only here because of the Virgin Mary, and that could be you. Mary promises special protection and great graces to those who wear the miraculous medal. So I wear a blue one. You can wear a silver one. They're all good. They all have the same promise. I wear the blue one, one, because I like the color blue, but two, because it helps Mary to stand out. So I'll give you 1 minute to go over to that table and get a miraculous medal. You put it on your neck. Remember, Mary promised that those who wear the scapular will not suffer eternal fire. Do you understand what that means? That means you won't go to hell. What is hell like? Hell is not like being at a nightclub. Some people think, oh, hell will be fun. That's the devil that gets them to think that. Oh, hell won't be so bad. I can drink beer. I can have sex all day. That's not what hell is like. Hell is the absence of all good. I cannot even begin to describe to you in words the torments of hell. Anything that I could call to mind would only be 1/1,000th of the pain and the suffering that happens in hell. If you could just imagine the worst tortures. Imagine being completely engulfed in flames. Just like burning. You can't even stand to put your finger in a fire for 1 minute. It would burn you terribly. But imagine your whole body just being burned. Your skin turning black. It never ending. Somebody getting a rake or knives and just ripping the skin off of your face. Ripping the skin off of your body. Sticking things where they do not belong. Putting things in your ear. Pulling your hair out. Pulling your teeth out, pulling your fingernails off, insects crawling all over you, sounds so horrible that it would make you want to rip your ears off, smells so bad that in an instant you'd want to vomit, and none of it ever, 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 ever goes away. That's why if you don't wear the scapular, in my opinion, you're very foolish, because you could leave here, this could be God's way of saying, I'm going to help you. You're going to die tomorrow. I'm going to send Gabriel to you. He's going to give you a scapular. He's going to beg you to put it on. He's going to tell you all the reasons why. And then you don't do it. That's really foolish. You could go to your judgment and God would say, hey, what's wrong with you? I gave you Gabriel to go and talk to you about these things and you still didn't listen. You're still too tough. Why am I being tough? Nobody even sees me. Again, if you have the Virgin Mary as your mother, you're not going to have to worry about all of these diabolical issues. You have the grace of the Holy Spirit with you. You have her powerful intercession. You have no reason not to sleep at night. I used to not be able to sleep at night. I used to have to drink hard liquor to make myself fall asleep. But now that the Virgin Mary is my mother, I go to sleep really quickly. And if for some reason I wake up, I always assume it's Mary that woke me up and not the devil that woke me up. Mary, I say, Mary, why did you wake me up? oh, you need to pray for such and such and such and such and such. Okay, I'll pray a rosary for them. And next thing you know, I finish the rosary and I fall right asleep. Which brings me to my next topic. But first, let's do our prayer of renunciation. So if you'll please kneel down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan. I renounce Satan, his pomps and his works. And all of his empty promises. I break all ties I have. I break all ties I have to the evil spirits. I consecrate myself to Jesus. Consecrate myself to Jesus. I consecrate myself through the Virgin Mary. I offer you, Mary, my life. I offer you, Mary, my life. Please be my mother. Be my mother. Accept me as your own. Watch over my spiritual life and my earthly life. That I may love and serve Jesus. That I may love and serve Jesus. Now, and in eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There, now your children are Mary. So finally, the last sacramental we're going to discuss very briefly is the rosary. We've talked about this before, but I cannot emphasize to you enough how powerful this prayer is. The Virgin Mary designed this herself. She's full of wisdom. She's full of everything good and holy. And she gives us this rosary as a key to all that's going to lead us closer to her Son. It's powerful not only because the Virgin Mary made it, but she selected the most powerful tools for it. The red beads that you see there, those are the Our Father. There's no greater prayer in the Bible than the one that Jesus taught, the Our Father. All of these beads right here, or all of those black beads on the screen, those are the Hail Mary. It's very powerful. To say it 50 times, very powerful. You're asking her to pray for you now and at that most important moment, the hour of your death. She's also asking you to think about the life of Jesus. Starting on Mondays, if you're doing it one rosary a day, would be the Joyful Mysteries. You go through the entire life of Jesus. That's something that the evil spirit doesn't want. Maybe you've been looking at pornography for years. You try to stop, but the images are just in your head. Maybe you've seen horrible things. Maybe you've seen somebody be killed. You're traumatized. Your mind is under the clutches of evil. By going through the life of Jesus, by repeating these words, your lips will be purified, your mind will be purified, you'll be a friend of God. It's difficult to pray the rosary. I admit, it's difficult to pray a rosary. It is. It's not fun, but you have to think of why. You'll do any what if you have a why. What is it that you care about? If you don't care about your own salvation, is there somebody that you care about? Is there something that you care about? I can't go a day without praying several rosaries, because I fall apart. I realize my life is so much better. I am capable of so much more because I have the rosary as a staple throughout the day. I don't just pray one rosary. I pray multiple rosaries. I've already prayed one rosary this morning. I'll pray two more before lunch. Before 3 o'clock, I'll have prayed four probably. Why? Because Mary keeps me on task. The devil at all times is whispering. Our natural inclination is to sin. But when I'm doing more prayers, it reminds me of who I am. I have God's help. Mary is a child of God the Father. God the Father's role is to provide for me. How much more so when I have my mother reminding him, reminding me nonstop. Mary's the mother of Jesus. He obeys his mother. So if I'm close to his mother, he'll take care of me. Mary's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you say, oh, I like Mr. Gabe. He speaks so passionately. He speaks so zealously. He's so full of the Holy Spirit. Only because I'm with Mary. The Holy Spirit is the spouse of the Virgin Mary. The more you become like Mary, the more Mary you have in your life, the closer she brings you to Jesus, and the more the Holy Spirit will come to you. We talked about how Mary crushes the head of the serpent. A single Hail Mary is like a great hit on the head with a jackhammer on the head of Satan, let alone if you pray 50 or even more. We have talked about how Mary promises signal graces. She promises to Saint Dominic and to Blessed Alan that if you are faithful to the rosary, you will get little signs from God, little things saying, hey, you should do this. Hey, you shouldn't do that. You tell your friends and they might think, this person is just a coincidence. There's no coincidences when you pray your rosary. Everything that happens, even if it's bad, You can say, I prayed the rosary today. Why did that bad thing happen? One, something worse could have happened if you weren't praying the rosary. Two, you can be assured that Mary's going to bring good out of it. Bad things happen to everybody. But when we have the Virgin Mary praying for us, we can be assured that she will bring great good out of it. It'll be a powerful armor against hell. It'll offer you special protection and great graces. We talked about how John Paul II was shot from point blank range, basically. And he survived the bullets missing his vital organs. And he had great confidence that he was not going to die because although one finger was pulling the trigger, the other finger was guiding the bullet. You will have virtue and good works flourish. There are some people in your youth program who play multiple rosaries a day. They were praying one a day and they were just getting better a little bit. There are some of your friends who are now praying four rosaries, which is the entire rosary, because if we look back at that picture, we just did, you know, Jesus' the Annunciation, Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth, the birth of Jesus, presented in the temple, and then finding Jesus after his loss for 3 days. That's good, doing a little bit, that's part of the life of Jesus. But some people go through the entire set of mysteries, and they claim to have extraordinary, all these same promises, but in an extraordinary way. So much peace of soul. I've seen some of your friends, maybe you recognize them, they're youth leaders now. They're part of the youth group, and they're totally, totally different. And not even 6 months' time. And I'm making a video of testimonials of some of their lives because it's crazy that the changes that have been happening in their life. Mary promises that if you pray the rosary regularly, she will not let you die without the sacraments, meaning you'll die in the state of grace. That during your life and at the hour of your death, you'll have the grace of God and the plenitude of his graces. So you might be wondering, why did I start off talking about the devil? Why am I talking about all these Marian things? Because the life of God is extraordinary, and he wants for you peace and joy. And the other option is our own weakness. And you know from your own life, maybe you have parents, or maybe you have a dad who's an alcoholic, maybe your parents are divorced. So much of the misery that we have in our life, we bring it upon ourselves with our sin. And God wants us to be the best version of ourselves. He wants us to be happy and holy in this life and in the next. And we often forget that we have a mother that loves us. And she always, always, always brings us closer to Jesus. So I'm trying to give you all of the weapons necessary so that you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be worrying at the end of your life that I do God's will for my life. If you're close to the Virgin Mary, she will see to it that God's will is done in your life, just like a good mother, a better mother than you can imagine. But the devil's going to use a couple of lies to keep you from doing this because it's so powerful. One, he's going to say for you to pray it later. Pray it later. You don't need to pray that right now. Do it later. No, do it now. The earlier, the better. You say, I'll wait till I go to sleep. What good is praying the rosary when you're sleeping? So you wait till the end of the night and all the graces and all the benefits and all the enlightenment you get, you go to sleep, you wake up in the morning and your mind is completely reset. You're back at square one. You're like, oh, gotta go to school, gotta get ready. You should pray the rosary or at least a decade of the rosary right when you wake up. The quicker or the earlier you pray the rosary, the better. And if you can't pray a whole rosary at once, pray one decade of the rosary. And then pray another decade later. And then pray another decade after lunch. And then pray another decade before lunch. Because some people say, why are you always talking about the rosary? I talk about it in the beginning, I talk about it in the middle, and I talk about it in the end. Because you probably failed the first time you tried. You're probably failing the second time you tried. And maybe the third time, you'll get it. Now, there is a way to make praying one rosary very easy. And that is to try to pray the entire rosary throughout the day. So I made a short video testimonial to show you what that might look like, and then we'll conclude with prayer, okay? In this video, we are going to discuss praying the entire rosary. Many people don't know this, but for the longest time, and when it was originally introduced, the rosary was considered to be all the mysteries, and these were often broken up throughout the day. In his famous book, The Secret of the Rosary, St. Louis de Montfort encourages the reader to pray the entire rosary every day. That is to say, three rosaries each of five decades. Back then, there were only three sets of mysteries. I want to clarify, and St. Louis also was very careful to clarify, that although the rosary is strongly encouraged, this practice is not morally binding, nor is it a sin not to pray the rosary. This entire book is filled with encouragement and includes countless benefits to praying the rosary. It's a gem of a book, and I encourage everybody to read it. Throughout the history of the church, countless saints have prayed all the mysteries of the rosary, and they found in it not only a sure guide to holiness, but great benefits. Doctors of the church like St. Teresa of Avila and St. Alphonsus Liguori, great religious founders like St. Dominic and St. Ignatius of Loyola, mystics like St. Gemma Galgani and St. Padre Pio, and even modern saints like Saints Jacinta and Francisco, St. John Paul II, Mother Teresa, St. John the 23rd, all of these prayed the entire rosary every day, and in sometimes more than just the entire rosary. The church and the world is in great need of saints. And with St. Louis de Montfort, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider praying the rosary more frequently. So praying one rosary is very good. I'm not trying to take away from that. If you're praying one rosary, that is very good. I have noticed, let's say you try to add to that, you add two rosaries, and then you feel it's still good, and you pray three rosaries, that's still good. But I have noticed that when you complete the entire rosary, there's like a special grace that is given, something that's unique to having completed the entire rosary or four sets of mysteries that is unlike just multiplying the graces of that first rosary four times. Other people that I have talked to about this agree. Once you cross that threshold, there's a unique grace. And I guess the only way I can describe it is that you've actually completed an entire rosary, and all those promises and all those blessings and all those graces that have been promised throughout the ages, that they're finally coming to fulfillment. I really do believe that if people would start to pray four rosaries a day, that their life would be radically changed from the very moment that they start. They'll start to notice changes in themselves. Not that you're gonna feel giddy and happy as you're praying it, but you notice the effects after the fact. Because Mary is so efficient, because she's the Mother of God and she's perfectly united to the Holy Spirit, that everything that she does has many ends. So by praying the rosary, it helps me have a greater love for the Eucharist. By praying the rosary, it makes me more likely to go to confession. By praying the rosary, it helps me to overcome my vices. By praying the rosary, it helps me to be more inspired and filled with the Holy Spirit. I would recommend that if you're struggling with sin, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, if you have souls that you care about, that you want to impact, pray four rosaries a day. That will make all the difference.
It wasn't that long ago that I thought praying four rosaries a day was impossible. And at the time, I was praying one rosary a day, and even that was a struggle for me. One night in adoration, I was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I felt in that moment, that night, that he was asking me, okay, now try praying four. Try praying four now. And that day I prayed four, and it was at that time that I really felt my life was really changing, and Mary was working really powerfully in really everything I did, even the little things. It was almost weird at first, seeing the way my day would fall into line perfectly. The little pieces of my day coming together, all my worries kind of started to not go away, but the weight of them, the burden of, you know, the daily anxieties we have, they were very light and really didn't bother me anymore.
For most of my life, I struggled with a particular mortal sin, and it wasn't until after my conversion that I decided I didn't want to commit this sin anymore. And when I had made that decision, I was prompted to start saying a daily rosary. And while I was receiving the grace from that daily rosary to say no to that sin, I was still struggling severely with temptation. So when a friend advised that I begin saying four rosaries a day, I thought, that's a lot of rosaries, but I gave it a shot. And there are two big things that I noticed that changed immediately. The first is that I felt immediately protected from temptation. What was once so unbearable that I had to leave the house now became so slight that I could easily say no and move on and forget about it. This was a miracle for me because I had felt imprisoned by this sin my whole life. So to be able to finally say no to it so easily felt like such a victory for me, and I finally felt free. The second thing that I noticed is that praying four rosaries a day and meditating on all four mysteries instilled in me a deep love for God and a deep loathing for sin. Because instead of it just being about following the rules, because, oh, the church and the Bible say don't sin, it now has become, I love God and I don't want to hurt him.
For a long time, I struggled with depression and anxiety, and I would feel a great interior darkness and desolation. I would also suffer from insomnia. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night, and nothing that anybody said or did could make me feel better. In fact, some people were saying you need to get on medication. I want to be clear, I'm not against medication or going to doctors. Others were saying, oh, you might have the dark night, or maybe you're having diabolical attacks. I have no idea what it was, but I do know what got me through it was praying the rosary faithfully every single day. What would happen? I would get this darkness, the anxiety would enter in, I would begin to pray the rosary, and somewhere in that rosary, it was like a spiritual wall of protection would go up. And if it was a dark night, then Our Lady, in her maternal compassion, gave me sweetness. If it was diabolical and evil spirits were the ones filling me with negative thoughts and clawing at my weaknesses, in that case, Our Lady crushed their head.
I need to hold on to my rosary because I don't like this subject. I was sexually and physically abused throughout my childhood, and I used to be controlled by anxiety and depression my whole life. Both were so bad that there were days that I couldn't leave the house, and I used to cry a lot and shut people out. Even my own husband couldn't convince me that he loved me because I was so convinced that I was unlovable and unworthy of love. I was in counseling for years trying to overcome these feelings, and they never went away, even with medication. But I kid you not, the moment I started praying 4 rosaries a day, those feelings of anxiety and depression were dramatically reduced. I would say just say the 4 rosaries. I know it sounds like a lot, but just try it for a week. So I pray my first rosary on the way to work with my husband, and I pray a rosary in adoration, and then I pray my rosary on my way back home from work, and then I say a rosary before I go to bed.
Just make it part of your schedule and your day flows fine. If I make the decision to do this every day, it's just part of my day and I'm gonna plan it out, you're not really gonna find time. Like, you have to we make time to pray. And I try to do it in chronological order because I think it helps going through that journey with Jesus. I've found that through the mysteries, that continual meditation on Jesus' life that really keeps me grounded in my day is always present in my mind, really no matter what I'm doing, whether it's school or work. Through the mysteries, I'm always turning back to Jesus, and I'm always turning back to what he was experiencing and our companion, our motherly companion. She always has us by the hand, leading us every bead, every decade, every mystery. She's there with us, helping us, guiding us. She wants to help us, bring us to her son, and you can really feel that through all the mysteries.
Sometimes it is more convenient to pray whatever the mystery is for the day multiple times that day, simply because I'm praying with my children or I'm praying with a group at church. I've found that the graces are the same. Some people only pray the opening prayers of the rosary, such as the Apostles' Creed, with their first rosary for the day. That's fine. There is flexibility in this. There's not necessarily a rigidness. The Blessed Virgin Mary loves us. She wants to bless us. She wants to intercede for us. She wants to guard, protect us, to bring us closer to her Son, Jesus Christ. But we first have to pray. It is God's will that we pray. And the Virgin Mary, being efficient, the Virgin Mary, being so wise, has chosen that the rosary would be the key that unlocks all the doors. By praying the rosary, your love of Jesus is increased. By praying the rosary, your hatred of sin is increased. By praying the rosary, your openness and docility to the Holy Spirit is increased. By praying the rosary, your ability to overcome temptation is increased. By praying the rosary, you get inspirations. By praying the rosary, you get interior peace, great inner peace, a greater confidence in God's providence, consolation in times of darkness, greater zeal and love for the church and the sacraments, a greater zeal for souls, great spiritual fertility in evangelization. Our Lady will convict me to do things for her. You'll get all of these God moments or coincidences. and just random things that only the hand of God could have done. By praying the rosary, it just, everything comes. And that's why at all those Marian apparitions, when Our Lady's saying, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, it's because she knows that when the rosary takes root in a person's soul, changes happen, grace flows, Satan is crushed. If I could leave one piece of advice to future generations, if I could say only one thing to them and they would actually obey and listen, I would say, pray the rosary. This video is only an introduction to this very important topic. Again, I encourage you, read this book. And if you want to pray the entire rosary or you feel called to pray the entire rosary, my advice is, don't be discouraged. Dryness and distraction is a normal part of the human experience. Just do it. Don't be too hard on yourself. Just keep moving forward. If you feel like you didn't pray well enough, try harder next time. Don't let your desire to be perfect keep you from doing something good. The devil is going to try to discourage you and keep you from moving forward. Just get your prayers done. I promise you will be thankful that you persevered. I found that on the days that I'm distracted, on the days that I'm busy or dry, and I still push through, I still get the graces, and sometimes more than on the days where it's very easy. Because Mary's loving, and Mary loves you. She's pleased that you're persevering through the dryness. There's great merit in praying when you don't want to. Love, as you know, is not about feelings. And although I've talked a lot about graces and favors, it's not about those. It's about holiness. The church needs saints. Your prayers make a difference. They make a difference in the world. They make a difference in the lives of your loved ones. Don't doubt this. And let me conclude with a quote from Sister Lucia. Sister Lucia is the longest living Fatima visionary, one of the most blessed mystics in the modern era. She says, "The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the Rosary, to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, that cannot be solved by the praying of the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. So I encourage you, pray the rosary, prayerfully ask, Lord, are you asking me to pray more? And if he is, I can assure you, the struggle that you're gonna initially encounter is gonna be totally worth it. God bless you, God love you, and pray the rosary." It's not a coincidence that you're here today. God has a special plan for your life. The Blessed Mother has a special plan for your life. You have a lot of friends who you might be wondering, why don't they have the same information that I have? Why don't they have the same faith that I have? You're here because God has a plan for you. Don't doubt that. And he wishes to touch the lives of your family and your friends through you. Okay? Let's go ahead and close with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you to the best of our ability. We try our best. We try our best to have faith. We try our best to believe. We ask you to help us to have greater faith. Help us to have greater belief. Help us to be a greater Christian. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the way out, you can go ahead and pick up a rosary. The odds of praying the rosary without a rosary, very slim. So try to carry the rosary with you. God bless you all. We'll see you soon.